after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
0141 951 1025. Get involved. You're probably getting back into the car after the game. Well, if you're a Celtic fan, you'll have been home a long time ago, but let us know what you thought of the games. On the phone line, Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod, Derek Johnson are here. Gordon Dalziel still, I believe, at Ibrox with us. Derek, full roundup of the scores before we do that, please.
Certainly, Gordon. In the Scottish Premiership, Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 0, Aberdeen 3, Hamilton 0, Dundee 1, Ross County 4, Hearts 1, St Johnston 0, Motherwell 1, Partick Thistle 1, and Rangers 1, Hibernian 2. The Scottish Championship, Falkirk 0, Livingston 3, Morton 2, Dunfermline 1, and St Mirren 2, Queen of the South 0. In Scottish League 1, Arbroath 1, Albion Rovers 0, Ayr United 1, Alloa 2, Forfar 0, Airdrieonians 1, Queen's Park 1, Raith Rovers 3, and Stranraer 0, East Fife 2. Scottish League 2, Annan 1, Cowdenbeath 1, Clyde 3, Edinburgh City 2, Peterhead 0, Montrose 1, Stenhouse Muir 4, Berwick Rangers 0, and Stirling Albion 3, Elgin City 1. And in the English Premier League, Burnley 1, Manchester City 1, Bournemouth 2, Stoke City 1, Brighton 3, West Ham United 1, Leicester 1, Swansea 1, Manchester United 2, Huddersfield Town 0, and West Brom 2, Southampton 3.
So, on we go then, and find out who is the unhappiest Celtic supporters or Rangers supporters. This is my kind of show.
Well, listen, there might be some happy Kilmarnock fans out there. There might be some happy Hibs fans, happy Morton, St Mirren. Everyone can get in touch. 0141 951 1025. Let's go for Robert. He's a Rangers fan. He's on his way home from the game. Robert, sum it up for us.
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I lost my voice. First of all, I apologise. I'm raw with emotion right now. That was shambolic. I've got 4 points up to England to watch the game today. Excited to watch the Rangers. They've enjoyed themselves, first and foremost. But that was ridiculous. What the hell's happened there? Absolutely shocking. Void of idea, void of inventiveness. I feel like we're lost 8 million quid. Can we phone that China club back and take him? Because he was absolutely shocking today. Cummins came on too late. Gosson Holt. It's got Halliday and Holt. They don't get anything. They're just sitting there like the square flashes all the time. Get Paddy Ferguson back in right, play a square pass. I'm just mortified. I've got to go sit with these boys for 5 hours looking in the face. And I'm putting me up with this game tonight. And I'm shocked. It's shocking, absolutely shocking. There was a chance, certainly, I've got points today. Rangers could have made the mark up on it, alright. Everybody knows Rangers might not win the league, but I mean, it gives me a bit of hope, maybe I get a bit of excitement. Oh, certainly, got some points, so it's like the old days. You know what I mean? Rangers got points and Rangers catch them up. It's like the old days, but today was just shocking. And Rangers supporters as well. Today, I don't come to as many games as I like to. I live in England, obviously. It's a dear do to come to a game. But the day Rangers supporters are cheering a corner kick, at least cheering a goal back when I was a wee boy. And it was, I'm embarrassed for that. I don't like that. Highlight today. Sorry, Duke Evans, you said, who's the most unhappy?
You are, Robert.
I'm fuming.
Definitely.
Rangers today were absolutely embarrassing.
Let me ask Gordon Dalziel. I don't want to stop Robert when he's in full flow.
Sorry, I'm just making a cheeseburger because I'm not living. I'm not living. £2.50.
It's not stopping you talking, eating a cheeseburger.
Robert, take a breath, please. It's for your own good. Let me ask Gordon Dalziel. Was it that bad, Gordon?
No.
Is it as bad as Robert's?
He's
that raging, he's eating a cheeseburger.
No,
so.
Exactly. No, it wasn't that bad. I think first half, I thought Hibs were terrific. You've got to give them a bit of credit. Second half, Rangers were a lot better, threw everything at Hibs. I do agree with Robert. I thought Morelos was very, very poor today. But he was not the only one. The turning point came. Rangers got back into his game 1-1, and the place erupted, and you're thinking, only got to be 1-1. Murty's out with the arms up in the air saying, come on, let's go now, we'll go and win this game. The players are get their arms up in the air. They were right up for it. And I've watched it over again, Gordon, and I said it would be the big talking point. What James Tavernier is doing, I have no idea whatsoever. And he's probably cost Rangers 3 points today, but take nothing away from Hibs. I thought Hibs, you know, they came here with a game plan. That got shot down in the first 5 minutes when they had to make the substitution. Changed their system and played very, very well. Always looked a threat in the break. But to give away a penalty kick, lads, just a minute after you've got right back into the game. First half, I thought Hibs were terrific. Second half, I thought Rangers were better. But Robert's got a point about one or two players. Gosh, for instance, this is the first time I've watched him. Lovely left foot. Does, you know, he can make a pass, he can pick out a pass. There's no...
Scored the goal as well, of course.
Yeah, yeah, great free kick. But there's no burst from him. There's nothing else in the middle of the park. Doherty come on, tried to give a bit of energy in there. Jason Cummings, wrong time, didn't get into the game at all. Morelis was poor. Murphy floated in and out of the game. But I thought, you know, the whole... The game changed on the penalty kick. I thought if it wasn't that, Rangers would have probably got the goal.
The obvious question then, Gordon, because that's a couple of times you've mentioned Morelos. How much of that can we put down to the confusion, as Graham Murty spoke about?
No, I'm fed up with these excuses. At the end of the day, there's a packed house here, a terrific atmosphere. The one thing you do, and everybody will tell you, the minute that whistle goes, you concentrate in your 90 minutes of football. Then worry about everything after that. Morelos wasn't up to it today. He wasn't up to it, and you've got to give credit to the Hibs defence. They worked very hard against him, didn't give him a lot of space. Morelis worked hard enough. He tried to get on the ball, he tried to make things happen, but he had a very, very poor game.
You know, his head's that much turned that his agent is in and trying to get him a new contract for more money.
Let me see if Robert's finished his cheeseburger. Roger, Robert, he finished it?
No, I couldn't finish it. I threw it away.
You were so angry. Oh my goodness.
Go on the bus and talk to Gordon Duncan. So I threw the cheeseburger away. Anyway, what I want to say is, Gordon Dale, I'm on the bus that's complimenting the opposition at Ibrox Park, all right? I'm sorry. And I might come across as listening and acting, but I don't compliment the opposition at Ibrox Park. We should be dominating these guys. And the boys that brought in, I was really excited, but things that I watched in the week, and it was a bit of trepidation. I thought, I'm coming today. They'll shut that. It was the park. It was this and that. None of the boys wanted the ball. They got on the ball and nobody was moving. Murphy first half and Declan John looked okay. But up until that point, I thought Candice and Tavernier were the best partnership going since Rabsey and Jamesy Cotter. Do you know what I mean? And the day, nothing happened. And I'm embarrassed. I'm Graham O'Day very disappointed. I'll just leave it a note that we might get second place, but it's in the hands of the gods, because it's clear that every week. You make a decision.
Right, Robert. Thank you. Thanks to Robert. I want to wish him a safe trip down the road, because he's upset Hugh Keevans. There's no doubt about that.
Why should Rangers dominate Hibs? Hibs have already won at Ibrox this season. You know, I think that Robert's failing to take the whole of the picture into account. And there are decent players at Hibs, so
I just can't believe he threw his cheeseburger away. I can't get my head around it.
I think
food has to come first at times like these, Hugh Keevans.
Robert is back in a time when Rangers could dominate sides at Ibrox, but people aren't afraid of Celtic and Rangers anymore. Stevie Clark's already had a draw against Celtic, and he's beaten them today. He's done the same to Rangers, so things aren't the way they used to be.
Derek, the ultimate frustration will be, because of course you turn up to a game and you take it in that 90 minutes, you lose the game, of course you're disappointed. Yeah. But as Robert touched on, this was a chance for Rangers to win the day, so to speak, with Celtic losing. And actually it's Aberdeen that have come out on top today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Rangers' home record is absolutely pathetic when you think of what's going on. I said to the lads, you know, before a ball was kicked, that, you know, Hibs had a great chance of taking something from this game. Rangers, with all the players that they brought, and never mind going over to Florida, you know, they'd beaten Ross County away and they'd beaten Fraserburgh. There's no test there. The test was today against a good Hibs side that certainly don't sit back. They want to come and have a go at you. And Rangers have failed it. The penalty kick's an absolute disgrace from Tavernier. It is a penalty, no doubt whatsoever. He's clicked him, he's right foot.
Is it just bad decision-making for you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's going away from the goal.
He's right in the corner of the
right
box,
in the
isn't
corner.
He?
He can't do anything, and he sticks his leg around and brings him down. Absolute nonsense.
Okay, Patrick's in Royston. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, how are you doing, panel?
Not bad, good Patrick. Thanks. What's in your mind tonight?
No, what's in my mind is, panel, how bad was Celtic today? I mean, I'm an average Celtic supporter. How bad was it today?
It's a real cheery start to the programme, this. Rangers were pathetic, Celtic were terrible. But listen, that's what we're here for.
To put it into statistical context for you, Patrick, the worst domestic display that Celtic have given under Brendan Rodgers' management was losing 4-0 to Hearts at Tynecastle. Today at Rugby Park was the second worst display given in a domestic match by a team managed by Brendan Rodgers. They were pretty much failures to a man. I would give Jack Henry pass marks because it's his first game for Celtic. He watched his two defensive partners, Boyata and Ayer, go off injured after half an hour, and he kept his head for the remainder of the game. So I would give Jack Henry pass marks. The rest were failures.
Patrick, I think, were you at the game during the week?
You and Derek, do you not think that Celtic are actually playing just now, and they're getting into the midfield, they're coming back, they're getting out to the left, they're coming back into the midfield, they're going back your way. They're always going back your way. And then they're looking for Tierney to go down the left.
But the problem is, Patrick, if I can interrupt you, the reason that they do that is because there's no space for once, because Kilmarnock got everybody back and there's no movement up front from Celtic players. So it's two things. So when they're looking up, and Celtic are not that a team that just fires the ball forward, big high balls. They want to find feet. People have got to move up front.
Yes, right. So why can they say about people at Mesut Dembele, 22 million, 20 million? Surely a guy at 20 million, Derek, you were worth a lot less than that, and you could move probably better.
Oh, that's charming.
Come on, Derek, it's a different era, of course.
You're right, Dembele didn't play well today.
What do you mean
a different
era, mate? Football's football.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
My point was, Patrick, I don't think there were many £22 million players in Derek's era. That's all I meant, don't worry.
But Patrick, it's
quite straightforward. Moussa Dembele, failure today. Scott Sinclair, failure. James Forrest, failure. And Sham, failure. Kouassi, failure.
How much of this, though, was down to Kilmarnock?
Yeah, of course, but...
And understand that they're better players and they should do it, but again...
Listen, all credit. The fitness was great. The organisation was great.
The space that these guys usually enjoy was cut off by Kilmarnock.
I said 20 minutes into the game, Hugh, you know, the way that Kilmarnock were closing down, I said, you cannot do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
That effort you put in, Kilmarnock did, which surprised me.
And at the same time, Gordon, taking absolutely nothing away from Stevie Clark or Kilmarnock, but there are two teams on the park, and Celtic, on an individual basis, I've never seen so many players have such a shocking day on the same day.
Let's go to the US of A. Fergus is a Celtic fan, but he's in Wisconsin. Hi, Fergus.
How you doing, boys?
Not bad. How are you?
Nah, not too bad. A wee bit of a disgruntled Celtic fan after today, though, I'll tell you. I'm just starting to question Brendan Rodgers and maybe what he's doing to the team during training. Is he pushing the boys too hard? I mean, that's four injuries in the last two games. I mean, the boys look tired, you know.
Well, at the same Fergus, at the same time, I'd ask you to think back to last season.
They're just back from a nice relaxing time, or maybe it wasn't relaxing, but they're just back from Dubai. So,
but think back to last season. Celtic won every domestic competition, had only four draws in the championship. They were the Invincibles. It was an incredible season, and injuries were not a problem then, and nobody's question Brendan Rodgers' training methods or anything like it. It just so happens for me, it's coincidental. He's just had a shocking run of injuries. And I do think that the pitch they played on today would have had some part to play in Boyata and Ayer's injury as well. But he's just had a shocking run of injuries, which he did not have last season. No one questioned his training methods last season. I don't think it's right to question it now.
But Hugh, they might have shocking injuries, but they've got a squad far better than any other team in Scotland. I mean, Murdo,
2 seconds, Fergus, I'll let you back in.
Murdo read a team out there, people that didn't play for Celtic today. They could have gone there and had a decent game against Kilmarnock. I don't think you can use injuries as an excuse today.
No, but
Celtic did not do
Fergus,
it today.
Fergus is wondering whether there's something wrong with Brendan Rodgers' training method.
That's the
point I'm addressing.
They're getting injured on the park during a game. It's not as if they're getting done in training.
Yeah, that's the only point I'm trying to
make. Let me let Fergus
here
back in on this one. Fergus.
Hi, guys. I get you that last year we were the Invincibles. We won the treble and all that. But you know what? Celtic fans are living in the past too much. You remember when Brendan Rodgers was signed for Celtic and he wouldn't play Lee Griffiths the season after he had scored 40 goals? And his reason was, well, I wasn't here last season. Mm-hmm. I agreed with that. But you know what, Brendan? Last season was last season. We were an invincibles then. Everybody's got to get over it. Granted, the injuries today might have been partly due to the pitch because it's awful. But the other two injuries, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the boys are getting pushed too hard in training and it's leading to these injuries on match day.
But Fergus,
you know, we play a lot of square football. We play a lot of back football. I understand we need movement up front to create the space, but maybe that's because we're tired. We can't do it. I get that going from midfield to going forward, we're a great team. But defensively, we're shocking. We've known that since the start of the year that we needed a centre-back. He did nothing about it. Then come January, he brings in like a 30-year-old, lets one of our other centre-backs go out on loan, and look at us now.
Signed Jack Hendry as well, Fergus, remember?
Well, yeah, and I mean, credit to the young boy to be in his debut. He did all right, you know, but...
The only thing I'm wondering, Fergus, with your theory is, and Murdo McLeod was there as well, they didn't look tired on Tuesday night, that's for sure. They didn't even look close to tired on Tuesday night blew Hearts away.
I'm sure Fergus watched the game in midweek against Hearts, and honestly, they were as sharp that's the sharpest they've been the whole for a year at least. That's the best 45 minutes performance. So I don't think Fergus can look at it, the game today, and think they're tired, because every Celtic player since Brendan Rodgers has arrived, the fitness level has been way up, and he's got to keep it up there. Whether he works them all the time, he's got to keep up there. That's why Celtic were the invincibles last year.
Graham Murty had to watch his team lose 2-1 at home to Hibs this afternoon. Let's hear what he had to say. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly. After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio. Gordon DL is still at Ibrox and we're taking your calls. We want to know what you think of today's football action. Very unhappy Rangers and Celtic fans on the line so far. If you feel like cheering things up a bit, maybe you're a happy St Mirren fan, a happy Morton fan, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, I don't know, if you feel like raising the spirits, 01419511025. But in the meantime, let's hear from Graham Murty. So a 2-1 win for Hibs at Ibrox. Here's what the Rangers manager made of it.
I thought we were very good in the second half, and one moment in the game, one moment in the second half where they were a threat has cost us a point, when I thought a point was the very least we deserved.
Any arguments with the penalty?
Of course I've got an argument with the penalty. Am I going to say it out loud? Probably not. Regardless of whether it's a penalty or not, we've put ourselves in a situation through a poor press at the wrong time, allowing them into our final third, and then we allow the referee to make a decision that changes the outcome of the game. And that's a little bit naive from us, but as soon as they got in there, I could see it happening. I had a sneaking suspicion that it would be given. Well, I thought in the first half was ridiculously open from both teams, albeit we should have been level. We've had good chances to go and score, but we changed the structure slightly. I challenged the players to actually win the first ball more, pick up more second ball and track their runners, because they attack with pace. And I thought in the second half we more or less nullified them, and it was just us going and attacking and waiting with bated breath to go and get the goal. Once we get it, I could only really see us going to win it, and possibly that contributed to a moment of rashness that has cost us, really.
Is that a game that sort of lessened the boys and the importance of keeping hold of the ball and controlling the tempo and things like that?
I thought that it's a lesson for the boys in believing what we're trying to do, but it's not just about what you do with the ball. I thought our structure was wrong and our timings and our gaps were too big in the first half. We made a really good adjustment at half time. Our centre halves played higher, our midfield locked onto theirs a lot better, and I thought that we picked up the ball and looked like a real threat, albeit we didn't manage to be as clinical as I would like. But I thought most of our processes in the second half show the basis and understanding of a good team that could and should have got something out of the game.
David's in Dumfriesshire. He's a Rangers fan. Unhappy, I would imagine, David.
It's not actually David. This is mate Andrew. He's got a bit skittery. But not basically. Listen.
Too much information, Andrew. But carry on.
Aye. Every time Celtic seem to get beat, which has only been twice this season, I must admit, Rangers, they seem to get a bit skittery also. Like my pal David. Sorry to put it like that, but...
Could you find a different way of putting it, if you don't mind? Anyway, right. I take your point that Celtic, when they lose and Rangers have the chance to take advantage, Gordon DL, they can't manage to do it. I think that's what David's trying to say. Did that have any impact today? I don't know how you measure these types of things.
Well, you know what like supporters are, Gordon. They know that Celtic have lost, and it's a great opportunity for Rangers to close that gap. And they were looking forward to this. And obviously, Hibs have been here at the beginning of the season. They were looking for a bit of revenge. Listen to Graham Murty's interview there. I agree with a lot of things he says, but the one thing that he didn't say is go and tell your defender not to make a rash tackle when there's absolutely no need whatsoever to make it. And that's what's really cost Rangers the game. I thought the Rangers did play better in the second half. He was right, the midfield got a bit closer, Murphy got into the game a little bit, they created one or two chances. But to come out one-legged. and talk the way he was talking about the penalty kick, It's a penalty kick, and it's a silly penalty kick. It changed the game. But no, it was a great opportunity for Rangers, especially at home. And at 1-1, I thought Rangers will go and win this now. But you've got to, like, as much as we talk about Celtic and Rangers, give Kilmarnock and Hibs all the credit.
Right, you guys have seen it back. So Gordon initially, on first viewing, didn't think it was a penalty. Then you changed your mind when you saw it back. If we can quickly try and get a consensus here, you've all seen it. What do you think, Derek?
Definitely a penalty.
You think so?
Stupid. He's gone away from goal. There's no danger at all, and he's brought him down. It's a penalty kick every day of the week.
I've seen it once, and I don't think it's a penalty.
You don't think so?
No.
Make your case then.
I think the fall is on the theatrical side for me.
He's caught him,
you've got the deciding vote.
He's got his hands up and hit the back of the player. He's wrapped his right foot around it as if he kind of pushed him. And see, when you're inside the box and he's going nowhere, you just stand behind him. He's just going to run towards the corner flag. I think I don't know what he was thinking about.
David, what in particular frustrated you today then? You mentioned, you know, failure to take advantage of Celtic's slip up. What annoyed you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I agree
it's
with you.
It's not David,
you.
Sorry, it's Andrew, I forget.
It's Andrew, mate, but that's fine. I agree with you, I was listening to you there, and I completely agree with what he said. If that was in the middle of the pitch, you think he would have went doing like that? I don't think so. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, we could sit here and moan about how Rangers conceded a penalty, but they've conceded a penalty 45 seconds after Rangers have just scored.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go back to my earlier point about my pal may want to come on the phone and how Rangers have been, but I'll not use that word again.
I don't mind it too much, David. Just carry on.
No, as I say, it's like every time. My initial point was every time Rangers seem to be the game, like after Celtic are playing, they seem to just bottle it. They kind of seem to win the massive games that are coming up. Celtic have dropped points. Rangers are playing after them, and Rangers just cannot seem to gain ground on Celtic when it's a must,
especially at home. You know, the record at home is absolutely atrocious, Rangers. And today was the big tester for me since all the players have come into the club.
I'm thinking.
You know, and they've lost the game. No matter how many chances they've created or whatever, the bottom line is, you know, they've been beaten once again by Hibs.
But Derek, has Rangers not got a worse record against the teams away from the top of the table? You know, they lose more games against...
I guess the Dundees...
Well, of course, because they've beat Aberdeen.
They've beaten Aberdeen three times. They've drawn me Celtic.
But that's what makes it worse, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Playing the teams that they should be beating and they're not.
But we spoke about it today, about this game for Rangers. You know, that after the new signings are arriving at the club, the whole thing, Hibs, one of the challengers, this is a game at home. You've got to win it.
Okay, thanks to David's mate, Andrew. So it said David on my screen, but it was Andrew, apparently. Thanks for that call. Let's speak to Ian in Greenock. Hi, Ian.
Hi, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Hugh, Murdo, Derek, and Gordon at Ibrox.
He's still with us, yep.
2 points. I would like to congratulate Steve Clark and Kilmarnock for their tenacious performance today. I thought they were man-to-man. I thought they were a better team. Celtic were very lethargic. The boy Malumbu or something like that.
Yep, Malumbu, yeah.
I think the boy's a cracker. I don't know about yourself, Murdo. You played in the middle of the park.
I honestly think he's one of the best signings that's been made in Scotland in the last year. I think he's outstanding. Even watching the game against Rangers, going back to that game, the game at Rugby Park, I thought he bossed the game. He was all over the place. But today he added something on, was scoring a goal.
Yeah, it's first for the club.
And he had a chance after that again. But I just think how strong he is. He gets involved. He's in there. And I just think, you know, he's a great signing for Killie.
Yeah, it's the first time as well to the other guys, yourself, Gordon. I think it's the first time Kilmarnock have won 5 games in over 12 years as well.
Yeah, I mean, certainly at home it was a long time as well to get all the home wins. So they're showing signs of a real consistency now, Ian, that they've not had in a long time.
Yeah, Steve, sorry guys, we're talking about. I just want to throw in before I go to, if I can get one with Gordon at Ibrox.
Yeah, on you go.
We're talking about a Scotland manager. Scottish position's in a disarray at the moment with your man Reagan going and things like that. Would you not think Steve Clarke would be a great shout for a Scotland manager?
Well, I definitely think he's doing his chances no harm with the way that he's come up to Scotland and turned Kilmarnock's fortunes around. He's had some terrific results and everybody will be looking at Steve Clarke. I'm sure the Kilmarnock fans will be wondering what's going to happen to their manager, but he must be up there because he's worked. We're talking about, what do you need to be a Scotland manager? Of course you need motivation, you need coaching, you need tactical awareness. He's worked with some of the best and he's shown now as his own man's a manager, he's really doing well, so he must come into consideration.
Ian, as a Celtic fan, how concerned were you with the injury situation then? Boyata forced off early on, Christopher Ayer wasn't far behind him, a whole host of injuries racking up at the moment with Zenit round the corner. Are you
very concerned? Very concerned, Gordon, very concerned. I think that the two injuries today dissuaded Celtic's performance because it unsettled the back four, because I heard Shue saying about young Jack Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Pass marks a day. I thought the young boy was comfortable. But see, when you've got two players, I think Bayata's coming on to a game again. But Christopher Ayer has been outstanding since the 4-0 game when he came in after the Hearts game. And he's done really well. And I think he's only lost one game and two goals since the Hearts game. But the question I wanted to ask was Gordon at Ibrox. Are you there, Gordon?
Yes, I can hear you.
You're talking about John McGinn.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good game today.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be an ideal replacement for Scott Brown in the next year or two?
Certainly, I would think that Celtic, he must be on Celtic's radar, or be on other teams' radar, because even today, after 5 minutes, he get moved out to a sort of wing-back position, which everybody was thinking, well, that's not really his position, he needs to be in the middle. The boy was terrific, he's got great ability, and he summed that up with his goal, because he was 25 yards out, and he gave the Rangers goalkeeper absolute no chance. Every time I've watched this boy against the likes of the Scott Browns and come to Ibrox, he stands out, so he can do it in the big stage, and I'm sure that, and I hate saying this, I'm sure that Hibs will not hold on to him for much longer.
It was quite deep into his press conference on Tuesday night. Brendan Rodgers was asked, and I think that's why perhaps it didn't take the headlines, Gordon, but he was quite actually clear in his language where he said that Kouassi was the man who would replace Scott Brown.
Yes, but things change, Gordon, and you can't keep ignoring
listen,
this.
I appreciate that. I just thought it was quite a committal thing to say. You know, he was very clear about it, as if he's not that he's made his mind up already. But I was just surprised that he put it in so plainly.
I know that, but Brendan Rodgers has a habit of coming out and saying things like, not that long ago he was talking about, well, my defence, I'm not bothered about my defence. I'm quite happy. He's made two signings since then, two centre halves. I know one gets injured, compare. I know he's injured, but he's brought Henry in from Dundee as well. This boy's a terrific talent. Somebody will snap him up, Gordon. Somebody will snap him up. And Celtic seem to be going down the line of looking at the best Scottish young talents and taking them to Celtic Park. So I wouldn't be surprised. I know what Brendan Rodgers is saying. He's obviously got to talk up his players that he's got just now. But the boy just, every time I see him, he seems to be getting better and better.
Right, listen to this. I know that the phone-in is going to be dominated by Celtic and Rangers when they both lose in the same day. That's just going to happen. But you are going to want to listen to this. Football fans will want to hear this. Hearts 1, St Johnstone 0. Tommy Wright furious with the referees. Absolutely furious. Here is the St Johnstone manager.
I don't mind a penalty not being given, but if it's not given for not intentional. But Andrew Dallas quite clearly points to his shoulder. Everybody can see it hits. It's a handball. Now, if he gives it, if he doesn't give it because it's accidental, that's fair enough. But he pointed to his shoulder. But But listen, I don't want to make it the Andrew Dallas show because I think he made enough of that out there. I'm certainly not going to be ringing John Fleming because I've lost count the number of times I've rung John Fleming about Andrew Dallas, so I'll draw a line under it and move forward. I think, luckily, the next two games he's not going to be refereeing our games.
What are you making the first booking? Because he made a big show.
Well, he made a big show, but you see, David doesn't play for Scotland. Vera can get away with fouls all day and doesn't get talked to. And I'm not talking dangerous fouls, I'm talking things in the back. Gets away with it, but then Vera plays for Scotland. David doesn't. Doesn't play for Scotland. It's a foul on David. David's expecting him to give a yellow card to the Hearts player. But listen, I say, it'll be reported what I'm saying about Andrew Dallas, but I think it should always report how well we played today, and I thought we were superb.
So Tommy Wright says Andrew Dallas tried to turn it into the Andrew Dallas show. I've lost count the number of times I've had to phone John Fleming and complain about him, and Christoph Berra only gets away with fouls because he plays for Scotland.
Right, I can't accept that bit. The bit about the referee, managers have referees that are their bête noire, and they will bring it up from time to time. And John Fleming has heard from angry managers before. I think it's consistent with the manager of a club who are slowly but surely getting dragged down into the relegation dogfight. Nothing's going St Johnstone's way apart from a Scottish Cup win at Clifton Hill on Monday night, and the strain is telling.
But it makes it harder for the likes of Tommy St Johnstone, who are trying everything. They're going through a bad spell. But if he fears he's not getting, you know, the right calls, and there's been a lot of times this season he's done that, he's just got to complain about it. It's as simple as that. The best thing that he said, that was right at the very end, he said, "We played superbly today."
Yeah.
You know, and they still get beaten. I think that's what's rankling in his head.
Do you want to hear what Neil Lennon made of that victory at Ibrox? Well, that's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly. After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdoch McLeod and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What are you shouting at over there?
Arsenal have just scored a second goal against Everton.
Okay, I thought it was something important there for a second. Let's hear from Neil Lennon. 2-1 victory for Hibs at Ibrox. Was the Hibs boss a happy man?
I thought it was a great game. I think it's a great advert for the Scottish game. I think it had everything. You know, two teams going for each other. There's no let up. I have to pay a tribute to my players. That's right up there for me in my managerial career, next to Barcelona. You know, under the circumstances with the injuries. You know, I've had Hanlon out, McGregor out, Whittaker out, Gray out. Then we lose Barker. So I've got Stevenson, who's a left-back, playing left centre-half. I've got John McGinn playing left wing-back. I've got Martin Boyle playing right wing-back. I've got two strikers who haven't played together before. And I've got Scott Allen making a second debut. It's an incredible, incredible performance, and all the plaudits should go to the players. They were amazing today, especially first half. They played some unbelievable good football, and Rangers are a good team, make no doubt about that. They're a very good team, but I thought our front two were a handful for them first half. We looked like the fatigue was kicking in second half. It's understandable. They get a very good goal, a brilliant free kick, which my goalkeeper, who again was outstanding, was very unlucky with. And then we decided to come out and play again, and we go up the other end, get the penalty, and Jamie showed a lot of character to go up there, step up and take it. In the context of my time as manager here, it's the best result I've had, no question.
So there we are, Hugh Keevans, Neil Lennon likening it to the victory against Barcelona.
Praise indeed. You know, Neil Lennon's a man, I think, who speaks his mind, and if he says that, he really means that. Speaking about players having to play out of position, all the problems that confronted Hibs before the game, they made light of them, and they've got a second win of the season at Ibrox, and he remembered to praise Rangers at the same time. So if he says it's next to Barcelona, it's his life, and he must think it's right.
Fraser is a Rangers fan from East Kilbride. Hi, Fraser.
How we doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, good, thanks. You?
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. I'm not bad. I'm not miserable.
Right, you've managed to see some positives then?
Yeah, no cheeseburgers are required.
Good stuff, I'm glad to hear it.
I actually have a couple of points to make. Firstly, it was a Stonewall penalty. I watched the game. I didn't get to the game, so I watched it on telly. So I got the replay. I was in disbelief at what James Tavernier was even thinking. I couldn't get my head around why on earth he's pushed him and tripped him. So yeah. I don't know what on earth is going through his head. He cost Rangers the game. But also my second point, I thought Josh Windass was absolutely awful today. Josh Windass is hot and cold for me. He can play well against Fraserburgh, score a hat-trick, but seeing these games, he goes missing every single time. And I think there's a mentality thing there as well with Rangers. As soon as the pressure's on like that, we seem to kind of lose our heads a wee bit, as Tavernier showed, and I think Hibs deserve to win the game. I'm not upset or gutted. I'm used to it. I'm a Rangers fan. We should be used to this by now.
Gordon Dale, was Josh Windass one that particularly disappointed you this afternoon?
Yeah, because when I was looking at substitutions, I marked him down. I thought he was a possibility to come off. What happened with Windass was quite simple. He had two terrific chances in the first 10-15 minutes, and then after those two chances had gone, he completely disappeared out of the game. In fact, when the substitutions were made, I was very, very surprised that Windass was not going to be one of them. I think he was kept in the park basically because they were looking for a goal. He'd scored three in midweek, and they were hoping he'd go on to the end of something. But I like Windass. I think he's a decent player, but it certainly wasn't his best game today in a Rangers trip.
Sorry, gents. Windass scored three against Fraserburgh. It's no disrespect to Fraserburgh.
I'm not saying that.
But I also don't understand why we're waiting until 70 minutes to make a change.
But you've got to ask a question as well. You talk about Windass. You're the Rangers captain today, and no disrespect, I don't know why Jason Holt is the Rangers captain. That beggars belief for me.
Who else would you give it to at the moment then?
I would give it to an experienced guy like Russell Martin, for instance.
Even though he's just come in, does that?
Yeah, but he's an experienced international player. Jason Holt, what does Jason Holt bring as a Ranger? I'm not having a go at Jason Holt, but Jason Holt ran about today and contributed absolutely nothing, to be quite honest with you. So as much as Windass was poor, I don't think he was the only one, Gordon.
Well, I don't think that he can... Jason Holt does, he's energy and he's an engine, but I agree, he doesn't offer much in the whole game. But you can't really say Russell Martin couldn't be captain, because Bruno Alves got the band and he was just in the door as well with experience. But I think Rangers, we need to stop worrying about what Celtic are doing, because at the end of the day we're 6 points behind Aberdeen now, and that's really what we should be focusing on, is getting these wins. But there's something missing there, and I think, you know, we need to work out a way for me personally to have Morelos and Cummins together, because Morelos is a hard worker, he's a grafter, but Cummins for me just seems to have a bit more of an edge. Morelos puts 1 in 10 in the back of the net. No disrespect, he's a top scorer in the league, but I do think we need to find a way to have two up top as well.
Okay, thanks to Fraser and East Kilbride for his thoughts. Let's hear from a happy St Mirren manager, Jack Ross.
I think our performance was good today, particularly first half, and it's probably reflective of where we're at as a squad. I think there's a squad of players there that they feel good about themselves, that have a belief and trust in what they're doing, and have probably a carrot now they can see, and that's what they're working towards.
Fabulous first goal, wasn't it, for Liam?
Yeah, I've seen him do that very often. I worked on at Hearts obviously as well, and I think that goal probably demonstrates again, I'm saying about how players feel at the moment, the confidence they have, because you don't do that or you don't try that if you don't feel good, and you don't feel good in the environment that you work in. So I'm delighted for him. Pleasing thing for us today is you know, and even if you add the second goal in the film last week, 3 out of the last 4 goals have came from the back four. And for a team that get the forward players get a lot of credit, then that's obviously encouraging for me as a manager as well.
Was Harry always the penalty taker, or was that?
It was interesting because obviously Ian McShane has taken them most of the season's record has been good, and Cammy Smith scored the last one, I think, at Brechin. But just by coincidence, Stephen McGinn and I had a conversation yesterday, and they said that because the players knew the team yesterday and he wasn't playing, so they said that Harry was wanting to take them and had taken them in Crewe. And I actually watched footage before the game of him taking a penalty in Crewe.
Really?
And just to check they had that. I think that, again, he obviously felt confident about it. I think the fact that Cammy was happy to give him the ball was reflective that the players obviously trusted him to do it as well. So, listen, Harry's a really good footballer, so it's not a case of centre-half worrying about taking a penalty. He's a technically very good player, so it's first of the season as well for him, so good.
On the phone line we have Jim. He's a Kilmarnock fan from Rothie. Jim, this is your big chance, because all we've had so far is Celtic fans and Rangers fans complaining about how bad it was. This is a chance for you to give your team the credit they deserve.
Correct. That's all we hear about is Rangers and Celtic.
Well, on you go, Jim. How good were your team today? Are we happy?
Yeah, very happy. A fiver at 12-1. There are not many people would back them, but never mind. That's just a sideline. I just hope we get the credit we deserve, because at the end of the day, it could be 3 or 4. Our first corner, Celtic's first corner was in 86 minutes, and they'd one shot at goal all game, was the free kick. And they can't blame the pitch, because they've won the last 3 games on that pitch when they came to Rugby Park. And Ayer has played a full season on the pitch, so I hope we don't get the pitch this and the pitch that.
Well, Brendan Rodgers.
Let's just give Kilmarnock the credit, Hugh, because let's not even discuss it at the moment.
Another couple of points, just before, and then I'll let you have your say, because they always cut me off. Malumba was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose Stevie Clark to Scotland or even Rangers, because that could happen, because he's a brilliant manager. Basically the same players, and they're playing brilliant, and I'm a happy Kilmarnock supporter, and I hope we get credit we deserve from the press.
Well, you've been getting credit all afternoon on this programme. Brendan Rodgers would not take it out on these players and use the pitch as an excuse. He, like you, brought up the stat that Celtic had won on their 3 previous visits to Rugby Park. There's one simple reason why newspapers and everyone else goes on about Celtic and Rangers when they lose. It's because there are more Celtic and Rangers supporters than any other kind. And they are what sells newspapers by and large. So there's not any attempt to take one iota of credit away from Kilmarnock. It was a performance built on tremendous fitness, a tremendous sense of organisation, determination, endeavour. I could go on and on and on all night. They were deserved winners. It could have been 3 very easily. So having said all of that, it's just a fact of life that when Celtic and Rangers lose, particularly on the same day, it's a big deal, because there are more Celtic and Rangers fans than any other kind.
Murdo, if you could put your finger on sort of one thing, one area, what impressed you the most about Kilmarnock?
Organisation. I think from the start of the game, it was always going to be tough. Celtic came out there after a good win during the week. The players were ready for the game. A really top Celtic side going out to play there. Kilmarnock, for the first 15 minutes, they made it really difficult for Celtic to get by them. They hardly had a ball in the box, Celtic. They hardly had a shot at goal. Credit to Kilmarnock. But just as the game wore on, the players seemed as though they had that ability to get a wee bit further forward to the pitch. The chances, the way they finished the game, the last 15 minutes was incredible. Because I'm thinking, after the goal, that they're just going to sit in here. No, they came out and they went at Celtic again, and they should have scored more.
One last thing in terms of giving credit where it's due to Kilmarnock. The people of Kilmarnock should give credit where it's due to Kilmarnock and turn up.
Yeah. What about Jim's other point though, Derek, just finally about, you know, I don't want to lose Stevie Clark.
Is it going to be
a bittersweet night for Kilmarnock fans who think, oh great, oh, but also on the other hand, people are going to be trying to pinch your manager?
Well, that's down to the manager to say, look, he's at Kilmarnock, which he has said, to be fair. My job is Kilmarnock, and at the end of the season, it might differ. Who knows? We don't know. But what we do know is he's doing a fantastic job in Scotland. He's got Kilmarnock playing as a unit and everybody playing to their full potential. You do that, you're playing against the bigger teams, then you're going to have a right good chance of winning the matches.
Hugh Keevans, sum today's action up for us.
Well, credit where it's due to Kilmarnock and to Hibs, because Kilmarnock faced a Celtic side who had a new £1 million defender, a new £1 million attacker from Chelsea. Hibs went into the game at Ibrox full of injury problems and having to field a makeshift side, and both of them won. Well done, Stevie Clark and Neil Lennon.
A great day of footballing action, I am sure you'll agree. Thank you to Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio on today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks latterly to Gordon Dale there at Ibrox, and of course the top team all around the grounds as well. But the biggest thank you of the afternoon, as always, goes to you. Thanks for listening, thanks for taking part in the teasers, thanks for giving us your thoughts, and thanks for joining us on this Saturday afternoon. Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson and myself will be back Monday night from 6 o'clock. GBX is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.